The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, good morning. How are you guys? Are you awake? It is after 11. Good morning. There you go. That's a little better. Hey, my name's John. If you're visiting, I want to welcome you. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church, and we have people that are praying all the time about things that are going on in the community. Last night, many of you are not aware, there was a big fire. I am a fire chaplain, and so many times we're called to the scene when it gets really bad. Last night's fire went to 3 alarm, and that's bad, okay? That's when 3 different companies show up to help take care of the fire. There were people trapped on the 3rd floor. Thankfully, everybody was out, but now there's over 40 displaced people this morning that have lost their house and everything. So we want to lift them up in prayer. And we also want to just thank God for keeping everybody safe. We've got people that are part of our church. I know he doesn't want me to call him out, but Frank, where are you? Frank is one of the chiefs with the Prince William County Fire Department. We've got several of you, even one of our band members. Nick, where are you? He's getting a drink or something. Nick, playing bass. He's one of the volunteer firemen in the county. A lot of you, we want to say thank you for what you do, but we also want to pray for those who have gone through this tragedy. So as our ushers come forward to receive our offering, I'm going to lift up a prayer for our offering as well as praying for those families that just went through that experience overnight. But we're very thankful that no lives were lost as a result of that. If you're visiting, please don't feel obligated to give during our offering time. If this is your church family, we want to encourage you to continue to invest in what God is doing here. God is doing some awesome things, and this morning I'm going to be highlighting a lot of the things that are going on. But some of you have asked, back in February, you guys, how many of you remember February? Yeah, it seems like it was forever ago, but it was just yesterday, really. And February, I challenged our congregation to meet me and taking this challenge of trying to raise $70,000 over and above our regular tithes and offerings to really kickstart this Hope for Nova initiative that we have unfolded. And actually, it's not us doing anything. God is doing amazing stuff. I had no idea that just after talking about this vision in February that we would be just a month later, buying our first Hope House. And if how many of you have not been to our Hope House yet? Raise your hand. You need to come out. God is doing awesome things there, and there's all kinds of things we're getting ready to do there, and there's more we're going to talk about. But I want to say a huge thank you, because we didn't just meet our goal. We exceeded it. If you take our tithes and offerings from February to May last year, and you compare them to February to May this year, we brought in 84,000 more than what we needed. So thank you. And it wasn't just like one company or one person showing up with a big check. It was a lot of you just giving a little bit more as God has enabled you. And that's even better. Thank you so much for your increased giving and investment in what God's doing. Other people are seeing it outside of this organization, and they're wanting to get on board what God is doing through Hope Hill. And I could just keep preaching now, but I'm going to pray for our offering for those families last night, and then we got some exciting stuff to do before we talk about more exciting stuff. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you are an inviting God. You invite us into the work that you're doing. God, you bless us so that we can be a blessing. So God, take what we have to offer at this time. Multiply it for your will and your way. God, we also lift up the families, the firefighters, the first responders, those who are without a home and without belongings this morning. God, we lift them all up to you. We thank you, first of all, for protecting life. But now, God, we pray that you help them put pieces back together and to get the care that they need through this time. Again, thank you for those in our congregation and in our community who serve you in this way, and thank you for keeping them safe through this time. In your name we pray, amen. All right, we're doing a couple baptisms today. Sad to say, the Herschelmans are moving. PR has been one of our faithful gentlemen setting up and tearing down every week. He's on deployment right now, but his kids have decided that they are in love with Jesus and want you to know. They want to be baptized as a part of this church family before they move. Can we talk you out of it? Probably not. It's too late. And then the Essers also. We're going to celebrate with them in a minute. Herschelmans, come on up, all of you together. A lot of you guys have seen Caroline and Owen and Hudson. They have decided, like the shirt says, that they love Jesus. And as a family, they want to engage this family. They've been a part of our family for 2, 3, 4 years. And it's sad to see, especially when we're only 5 years old, you're like us. So it's sad to see them leave us, but we know God is the God who leads us different places and is going to do great things. But we're excited to celebrate with you guys this morning these decisions. So I want you to tell us why you're standing here. Caroline, you want to go first? Are you ready? You think so? Tell us why you're up here this morning.
To accept Jesus and go to heaven.
Okay. That's awesome, right? Do you believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that He wants to live inside your life?
Yes.
Do you want to follow Him?
Mm-hmm.
Are there going to be times when you do things that are wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, we all are, right? But you know what? Jesus promises to forgive us. Whenever we ask Him for forgiveness, He's willing to forgive us and to be our forever friend no matter what. And that's what you want to do today? You want to tell us you love Jesus? All right, let's hear it for Him. All right, so I'm going to help you get in here. 1, 2, 3. It's nice and warm, isn't it? All right, have a seat, buddy. All the way down. All right. Where'd he go? Here we go. Pictures. Hudson, because of your love for Jesus and you wanting all of us here to know that you have decided to invite Jesus into your life to be your forever friend, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in His death, and raised to walk a new life. Very cool. Right there is a towel for you. All right, who's ready next? All right, Owen. All right, like I asked your brother, I want you to tell us, why are you up here this morning?
Because I want to get to know God better.
Okay. Have you been getting to know God in the climb classes?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing you love about Jesus?
Is that He never gives up on you.
Yeah, that's awesome. He never gives up on any of us. That's right. Do you believe that He died on a cross for you?
Yes.
Do you believe that you have to ask for forgiveness for the sins in your life?
Yes.
Have you done that?
Yep.
Do you believe that He's forgiven you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that He's living inside you?
Yes.
And do you want to follow Him with your life?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. When I was 6 years old, I made a similar decision, and that day I was baptized. So I'm excited that you're doing this at such a young age. Isn't that awesome? All right, let me help you in. There you go. All right, have a seat. All right. Owen, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in His death, and raised to walk a new life. Awesome. And Caroline. All right, like your brothers, why are you up here this morning?
I accept Jesus in my heart.
Do you believe that He died on a cross for you?
Yes.
Do you sometimes make mistakes?
Yes.
And have you asked Jesus to forgive you for those?
Yes.
There's going to be times when all of us make mistakes, and He promises to, like Owen said, He never gives up on us. And because you want Jesus in your life, we're excited to celebrate that you are now a true child of God. And why are you getting baptized?
Because I want Jesus in my heart.
All right, let's do this. Caroline, at the moment that you decided that you love Jesus, at the moment that you decided you wanted His forgiveness and Him to come into your life, at that moment, Jesus came into your life. And today, this is a beautiful picture of you letting your church family and your brothers and your mom know that you love Jesus. And I'm excited to do this with you. So because of your faith in Jesus, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in His death, and raised to walk a new life. Amen. And very good friends of the Herschelmans are the Essers, and they decided that they wanted to share in this experience with them. So TJ has decided that he wants to also share with you this decision that he's made for himself. I met with TJ and Toby and the Essers. Come on up, guys. All of you come up here for some pictures. I met with them this week, and they had a lot of great stuff to share about why he wants to do this. So I'm just going to let TJ tell us. Why are you up here this morning?
So I accept Christ as my Savior.
Do you believe that He died on a cross to forgive you of your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that the only way to get to heaven is to put your faith and trust in Jesus?
Yes.
That's right. And He died just for you and just for me. And we all talked about that this past week. And because of their faith, we are excited to celebrate this step with you today. Is there anything Mom or Dad want to say? All right. Come on in. I tell you, it's nice and warm, right? Kevin, thank you, man. Take care of us. I was baptized in freezing cold water. I still remember. All right, TJ, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you today, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in His death, and raised to walk a new life. Awesome. All right, so here's what I want to say. We do this every time we have baptism. I know you may not have come to church thinking, I need to be baptized today. But if there is anybody here this morning that feels like they need to make this decision today, we've got very warm water. We've got a t-shirt you can wear. I don't know about the pants, but we'll get through that. Is there anybody here who wants to be baptized this morning? All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the fact that we get to celebrate the decisions that have been made by these young ones and the fact that they wanted to let their broader church family know. Thank you for being a loving, life-transforming God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So today I want to take a time to kind of pick up on a teaching we did a few weeks, about a month ago, looking into Luke chapter 5. As a church, God, in the last 5 years has done things that I never expected to see this fast. And some things I wasn't sure if we'd ever see them. But just in 5 short years since Hope Hill Church has started, we have seen, over 250 people be baptized. We have seen, not just us do great things together here, but more importantly, we have seen God do great things through us in our community. Back in February, we talked about this hope to have Hope for Nova extend out into the highways and byways of Northern Virginia. Wherever God sends us, that we would see ourselves as missionaries, cleverly disguised as doctors and teachers and lawyers and soldiers and firefighters, and everywhere that God sends us, our first call to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ and for His kingdom. Over this journey, we've been praying, God, how do we put this into tangible, real brick and mortar type of ways in our life? And God gave us the vision for communities. On this slide that you're about to see, you're going to see about 8 different neighborhoods that are low-income neighborhoods in Prince William County. A lot of us aren't aware of some of the areas of need. There are trailer parks just a couple miles from the school we're sitting in right now where 3 or 4 families are struggling just to share one house and make ends meet. One of those communities is where we have our first Hope House. But this first map, the first one is up there in the top corner. That's the Hope House at Forest Park. But our vision is to have future Hope Houses at several locations in Prince William County, where we as a church congregation own a house. It might be a trailer, it might be a townhouse, it might be a house like the one on Taylor Drive, where we have individuals from our church or our partnership that God is developing, and I'll talk about that in a minute, where we have individuals living in those homes as missionaries to those communities, individuals who are meeting the neighbors' needs through offering food through a food pantry, or coats and clothing through a clothing closet, or after-school tutoring for children in need in those communities. And the needs are just growing and becoming more and more apparent. And as we are beginning to take these steps, God is blowing us away. When I talked about Hope for Nova back in February, I had no idea that just a month from February into March, we would be on the verge of buying our first Hope House. And now we've been in it for a month now. We've got interns living there. Mary Dale, as one of our program coordinators, is living there. Her hope is to move into a trailer in the Lake Ridge Trailer Park as soon as God provides a trailer there so that we can extend that mission into that part of the county. And God is growing this, and we're going to bring this back in a few minutes. But I want you to see where this comes from. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 5 with me. Luke chapter 5 is one of the most exciting passages for me in the gospel because we see the beginning of the movement of Jesus. Jesus could have easily come down to this earth, and he actually didn't even have to come down. He could have from heaven just said, boom, and everything be fixed. But Jesus decided to enter our mess and to live a life as a lowly servant, showing us what true love looks like. As he lived and loved for the first 30 years of life, at the age of 30, he entered into what many people call his ministry years. From the age of 30 to 33, his last 3 years of life, he was pouring into those that were around him, his friends, his disciples, those who were drawn to his mission and his message. And he was pouring into them all with the purpose of raising us up to carry on the mission that he had. It was never his plan for him just to do it alone, but to do it through us, those of us raised up. In Luke chapter 5, it starts off with this beautiful story of Jesus by this lake. Now, the lake was a very popular place because many people would go to the lake for food. Many people would go to the lake because there you could barter or trade goods for the day, maybe pick up your food for that evening's meal, get clothing or material or whatever it was that you needed for that day. And Jesus was there because the crowds were there. And this is, again, a perfect example of how our God works. Jesus was a going God. God is a going and sending God. Jesus' words to us were a go into all the world. It wasn't go and build a beautiful building and hope they all come to you. That's never been the plan. Jesus was on the shore there, and he was teaching about the love of God and the kingdom of God. As he was teaching, there were some fishermen who had been out all night, and they were now cleaning up, and they had a really successful evening of fishing, didn't they? Those of you that know the story, how many fish did they catch that night? 0, exactly. A big 0. How many of you enjoy fishing? How many? We have 1 today. Okay, a couple others who were sleeping woke up. We have a few. How many of you enjoy fishing when you catch nothing? We had one guy in the first service who actually rose his hand and said, yeah, I enjoy it, period. Okay, well, there's something wrong with him, but we got a group for that. So I would like the idea of fishing, but I'm no good at it. So here, I can imagine how these guys are feeling. They're professional fishermen. Their livelihood is dependent on catching fish. And here they are. They've been out all night and they've caught nothing. They're cleaning their nets. They're packing up. And Jesus turns to them and says, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" And you know, I'm not in a good mood. Don't ask me that right now, okay? And the guy who speaks up, Peter, we learn of him in the Gospels. He's the kind of guy that open mouth, insert foot often. Says whatever's off the top of his head, pulls out a sword and cuts off people's ears. He's just that kind of guy, just to kind of do whatever. And so when Jesus says to him, "Hey, why don't you go back out and catch some fish?" His first response is, "What? We've been out all night and caught nothing." But then something hits him. Because if you look at the chapters right before 5, we see that this man Jesus, who Peter really doesn't know yet, he doesn't know who this guy is yet, this guy Jesus was at Peter's house, and he healed his mother-in-law. And so there is something different about this man Jesus. And so Peter swallows his tongue, and he says, "Okay, we've done this, but because it's you, we'll go ahead and try and do this again." So if you know the story, they go back out. Jesus says, "Go out into the deep water." They push out into the deep water. They cast their nets out. And how many fish do they catch? So much that the boat begins to sink. So much so that they call to their partners in the other boat and they're like, "Guys, you won't believe this. Come out." And they all begin to fill their boats to overflowing. This is the kind of God that we serve. A God that says, no matter how many times you think you're done, God has barely just begun. No matter how many times you end up with zero, God may be just about ready to see you accomplish a breakthrough for Him. And this is what we're seeing with God. God is the kind of God that works in spite of what we humanly see as possible and does the impossible. Here, God leads them to capture these fish. And so, at that moment, they're like, freaking out, and they turn to Jesus. They're like, "Whoa, this is unbelievable." And then they realize, there's something different about you. We're not worthy to even be in your presence. And they fall to his feet and say, "Get away from us. We are sinful." Peter says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "You're right. You're not worth anything. I'll choose somebody else." Is that what he says? No, God reaches down through Jesus and says, "Even you, I will use you. Get up. From now on, you will be a fisher of men." And that's the kind of God we serve. You might be sitting there today and think you have nothing to offer, think that you've got such a messed up life that God couldn't use you. I've got another story for you. God is about choosing those least likely to be chosen, to doing things you wouldn't believe. And God calls him. Later in that passage, Jesus is working through the disciples. He heals some lepers. A couple weeks ago, we looked at a passage there where Jesus actually pulls away from all that's going on and he goes and takes time to pray. And many times we don't realize the importance of prayer. If Jesus, the Son of God, is praying, God in flesh is praying, you better believe it's something that we should be doing as well. About a week ago, we were at the Hope House for our monthly prayer gathering. Normally, we'd been doing it at Grace Baptist, but this week we wanted to get more of you into the Hope House, and we're praying. And one of the ladies there, who's actually here with us this morning, starts praying. And she's not been a part of this church, but she's been a part of the body of Christ. And she starts praying, and she starts thanking God. She lives in that community over there. She says, "God, thank you so much for answering our prayers." And as I'm listening to her, she starts to go on to say how she and others in that community have been praying for a movement of God in that community, and how Hope Hill Church is now an answer to that prayer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting to understand that other people are praying for us and we don't even know it? Other people are getting excited about what God is doing through those of us who are willing to be obedient and say, "I don't have much. I only have a couple loaves of bread. I only have a couple fish. But Jesus, it's yours." And Jesus will take it and multiply it and feed thousands. And that's what's here is happening. You've caught nothing? Well, go out into the deep water and try again. Jesus is that God that never gives up, like Owen said. He wants to keep giving us a chance to see Him work through us. And He goes apart and He spends time praying. And we've got to take that as well. We've got to be praying. There's nothing powerful that can happen apart from prayer. And so I want to encourage you to be praying continuously for what God is doing through us. Later, we see Jesus in verse 27 of chapter 5. He's walking through the town. He's still choosing his all-star team. And instead of choosing the religious elite, he's so far he's chosen a few not-so-good fishermen. Okay, and now he goes over here to a who? What is the job of this guy he chooses next? A tax collector. Now, you remember the story about the tax collectors? These guys are like the scum of the earth of that day. They are good Jewish boys who decided, I want to rob my own people and pay the Romans and take a cut for myself. And so Matthew gets recruited by Jesus. He's transformed, and he says, you know what? Jesus, there's something so different about you. I've got to tell my friends. So he goes and recruits his other tax collector scum buddies, and they hold a party, and they say, Jesus, come to our house. And Jesus is there meeting with all these sinners and tax collectors, and the religious leaders of the day are like, who is this guy that is eating with them? And Jesus says, a doctor comes for the sick, not for the healthy. And that's the mission that's unfolding page after page. God is not wanting us to build some buildings so we can gather together and pull apart from the world. He wants us to be equipped to go out into the deep waters, to go out and to sit and recline at tables with sinners and tax collectors and help them find Jesus. That's what Hope for Nova is all about. Along this passage, I skipped verse 17 through 20, 26, and we're going to be there for the rest of the time this morning. One day, this is in between the fishing story and the tax collector story, Jesus is in the community. One day, Jesus is teaching. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were sitting there. They've heard of this guy. They know there's something. Some of them are wanting to take this guy out, and some of them, their hearts are being transformed. And some of these Pharisees and teachers actually put their faith in Jesus. But they're sitting there and they're listening. They had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Verse 18. So there are some men come, and they come carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And they try to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. My question to you this morning, do you know any paralyzed people? Are there any people in your life that need to be taken to Jesus? These men had heard of this guy, Jesus. They knew of their friend's problem, and immediately, instead of trying to solve this problem on their own, they knew they had to go to Jesus. So many times in life, we've got these problems, but instead of going to Jesus, we try to fix them on our own. And they knew that no matter what, they had to get their friend to Jesus. Do you have some friends that need to know Jesus? Do you have some coworkers in your life that need to be brought to Jesus? Maybe you don't know anybody paralyzed, but some people are financially paralyzed, socially, mentally, emotionally paralyzed. And I want to have you hear me today. They need Jesus. And I know in our culture sometimes it's just not socially acceptable to talk politics and religion. But you know what? This isn't about politics or religion. It's about Jesus. Jesus' love for each and every person. Jesus' love and life-transforming power that everyone needs to hear about. And these men, they don't go up to this paralyzed man and say, you know, you've got all these sins, and here's all the reasons why you're paralyzed. And instead, they're like, you know what? We want to care for you so much. Let us just bring you to Jesus. And so they go and they get that man and they carry him to Jesus. They take him into the house. They try to get into the house to lay him before Jesus. But verse 19 says, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they decided to go home and try another day. Is that what it says? So many times that's how we operate, though. So many times it's like, oh, there's a closed door. It must not be God's will for today. Right? You know that verse that says, whenever God closes a door, he opens a window? That's not in the Bible, guys. But how many of you have heard that phrase? What does that even mean? If God closes the door, he wants you to jump through the window? It doesn't make any sense. It's not in the Bible. Sometimes when God closes a door, he wants you to bust through the wall. You don't believe me? Look at some of the stories. In Genesis chapter 12, God says, okay, Abraham, I'm going to send you. I want you to go. And Abraham's like, well, where are we going? Well, don't worry, I'll show you. But so many times we're like, well, if God is leading us that way, he's going to give us the plan. He's going to show us all the details. He's going to make sure we have all the I's dotted and T's crossed. They said that backwards first service, so I made a mental note. Sometimes we think that God's plans are going to be perfectly revealed before anything unfolds. That's like never the case. God raises up this guy named Moses. He's like, I want you to be my mouthpiece to the Pharaoh for the Israelites. He's like, God, don't you... I stutter. I have a speech problem. You want me to speak for you? Yeah, you're the perfect person. Moses then gets these Israelites, and after a bunch of plagues and all that, Moses is leading the people out of captivity to the promised land, and there happens to be this big body of water in the way. Oh, this, we must not have heard God right. He led us, and there's an obstacle here. The crowds that were there, we got to bring this man to Jesus, but there are crowds. So many times we think obstacles are God's signs saying we've done something wrong. Many times God wants us to have the willingness to bust through a wall. The Israelites, they get through that first sea. They get 40 years later, they come to another river, the Jordan River. The Jordan River is ready to be passed, right? No, it's at flood stage. And so God says to Joshua at that time, Joshua, I want you to lead the Israelites over into the promised land, but there's this river. He said, just trust me. As soon as you set foot in that river, watch what I do. And as soon as they put their first foot in that Jordan River, the water stopped. They cross and they're like, wow, this is going to be so easy. The land is ours. And all of a sudden they get across and what do they see? Another obstacle. The town of Jericho, the amazing city of Jericho with these huge fortified walls. Oh, let me open that door for you. No. God is many times not about opening doors, but seeing walls crumble. And there may be obstacles. When we think about this Hope for Nova vision, it's a multi-million dollar vision. There's no way that we could do that in and of ourselves. But God is calling us to do it. And so they approach the crowd and they see that the crowd is in the way. They don't turn. They know that they need to get this man to Jesus. And so they do what any of us would do. They climb up on the roof. I have a hard time climbing a ladder just holding Christmas lights. And they're hauling this guy on this mat on top of the roof. They get on top of the roof. They rip the roof open. And they lower this man down to Jesus. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, it is by faith we are, grace we are saved through faith, not of works, so that none of us can boast. We cannot earn our salvation. We simply have to have faith in He who already did it for us. And these men, Jesus sees their faith, their willingness that in spite of the obstacle, in spite of the crowd, they find a way. And that's what God is looking for in us. Are we willing to bust through walls and crowds and financial hurdles and obstacles to see people come to Jesus? The Pharisees and the teachers. Oh, I skipped a very important part. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, what? You were healed. Is that what he said? He didn't even address the guy who was paralyzed. What did he say? God is a God that doesn't just go out meeting people's needs. He's a God that changes your life forever. We should just close up shop if all we're doing is trying to put food on people's tables. There's enough organizations out there doing that. We should just close up shop if all we're trying to do is give people a safe place to live. There are organizations out there called to do that. If all we're doing is filling people's bellies and then sending them on, we are missing the point. We are here to help people find transformation and forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to them, friends, your sins are forgiven. In that moment, their life is changed forever. This man is still paralyzed, and sometimes God will allow us to be in our messiness, whatever it might be. But if we come to Jesus, He will use even that for His will. He offers forgiveness freely to any who would receive it. This freaks the Pharisees out. They were intrigued by this guy, but now they know there is something definitely wrong with this guy. Because Pharisees, they knew the law. They knew the Old Testament. They knew that only one person could forgive sins. And who was that? God. And if He is saying, if He is speaking as if He's God, there is something definitely wrong here. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began talking to one another. Is that what it says? What does it say? They're just thinking this. They begin thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? God knows every thought we have. He knows our passions. He knows our intents. He knows our motives. He sees into our very soul. And He knew what these men were thinking. And He called them out and He said, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier for me to say? Is it easier for me to say to this paralyzed guy, your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier for me to say, hey, get up and walk? Which is easier? Imagine if somebody was here today and they came forward and they wanted prayer because all of a sudden they found themselves paralyzed and in a wheelchair. They had come to church and said, you know what, I don't know Jesus, but if Jesus can heal me, I want to know Him. And I talked with Him. It would be way easier for me to say, you say you don't know Jesus? Well, I can tell you how He died on the cross, how He forgave your sins. I can lead you so that your soul can be transformed. It's way easier for me to tell this guy there's forgiveness available than for me to tell him and promise him that he'll walk again. But Jesus demonstrates the power by saying, first, your sins are forgiven, because that actually is the more powerful of the two miracles. That God is able to wipe away everything we've ever done. In a moment, their lives are changed forever. He says, why are you thinking these things? Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But listen to me. I want you to know that the Son of Man, He's referring to Himself, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So He turns and He says to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, the man stood up in front of them. He took the mat he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone there was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. This is the kind of stuff that God is doing, not just back then in Luke chapter 5, but He's doing these things today. There are people's lives that are being transformed today. A couple years ago, we held our birthday parties for Jesus, our Christmas celebration things. And there was a lady here, one of the families that are adopted. Esther is the mom's name. She was here, and that day, she accepted Christ as her Savior. She accepted the forgiveness that Jesus offers for her sins. At the same time, we were able to also not just give her forgiveness, but to give her some presents to put under her tree for her kids that Christmas year. Well, just about a month ago, Esther was in the garage at our Hope House saying, how can I help and give back to the community? I want to be a part of this. And she's sorting and folding clothes and helping set up our first clothing closet over there. This is what God is about doing. He's about transforming lives so that they can then be used to bring that life-transforming hope to others. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And as you go out into the world and love each other, the world will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you are my followers. Not by how many verses you memorize, not by how often you go to church, not by how many religious blocks you check off, but what? By how we love one another. Hope for Nova is a mission and a vision of loving this community, because that's been the plan from the beginning. When God said to Abraham in chapter 12, go and I will show you where to go, he didn't say the goal here isn't where we end up. The goal is I'm going to bless you along the going so that you can be a blessing to all nations. Our purpose on this earth is to be a blessing to those that God has placed around us. We see that here in Luke chapter 5, and you see it in the life around you now. Over the past couple months, we have seen God begin to open doors and opportunities for us to be a blessing to Northern Virginia. This Hope House has been an amazing opportunity to see. This one is at Taylor Drive near Forest Park, and we bought this. How long have we been in there? May, right? May 10th. Okay. So a month, basically. Right at the corner there is the bus stop, the school bus stop, right at the corner of our house. And every day after school, we are having elementary kids, middle school kids, high school kids come in and just hang out in the yard. And we have interns that are there, and some of you that are there that are playing, that are kicking a soccer ball. I arrived there one afternoon and saw that entire driveway covered in sidewalk chalk, and relationships are being formed, and kids are gathering together, and they already see this as a place of hope. They're also asking to swim. The pool doesn't work, okay? And we don't know if it's going to, but they're already seeing this location as theirs, as a place where they can go and receive hope. And there was a birthday party there last night. My daughter Lexi wanted to celebrate her birthday party there. Seven girls from that neighborhood came to the birthday party. This is a place where we are diving into deep water and we are casting our nets out. Last week, youth group was held there and four students gave their hearts to Jesus. This is what it's about. We want to see this happening not just in one place, but several places. We want these vessels of hope. Our focus isn't to build a multi-million dollar building somewhere. We want to be empowering you to be in places like this to see transformation truly happen. If God wants to open up the doors, which He is working on some stuff that I am blown away, as people, 4 months ago I was invited to a monthly meeting. There's about 12, 15 pastors from the Woodbridge area that are coming together, and the question being asked by the state convention leader to us pastors is, how can we work together to see a kingdom movement happen? This area, the percentage of people that know Jesus is less than 8%. The nations are here, and very, very few people think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How can we work together to share the hope and the love of the gospel? And after three meetings, Pastor Ray from First Baptist Church, who was at our celebration in February and saw our vision, he got one of our Hope for Nova booklets. He stood up in the meeting and he said, you guys, have you heard of Hope for Nova? Have you heard of Hope Hill Church? Do you understand what they're doing? And he went on to tell them what it is that we're about. These hope houses, these ways we go into these communities. And he said, this is the movement that God's doing, and we need to get behind them. And so already three churches have said, how can we help financially? How can we send our people to be a part of the efforts that you're doing? Because we want to get on board with this. The state convention has said, we would like to talk about funding this. First Baptist said, we got to talking. There's a church that, see that Papa John's up there at the top? There's a church that meets in a Planet Fitness right over there, a small West African church. They can't afford the lease to stay there. As I've been driving around the last 5 years, this has been an area that's been on my radar of high need. Right across the street from this Future Hope Center, you see that there? There's a trailer park. And that's one of the places we hope to put a Hope House. Go back to the Hope Center. As I was sharing with the pastors there, I was like, our hope is to, as God provides, put a home in each of these communities, having one of our members live there as a missionary, just meeting needs and loving on people, hosting a Bible study, passing out food and clothes. But we'd love to get to a place where we need a bigger location where we can do after-school tutoring and recovery groups and have offices and really make a difference in the community. And I'd love to see us own property in Featherstone Plaza, right in the heart of that community. Pastor Ray said, find out what the lease is. We might be able to cover it for a year. It's this kind of stuff that God is doing. If we're simply obedient, I believe that He's going to enable us to do anything that He calls us to do. Are you excited? The passage there ends that everybody saw the transforming work that was happening in this paralyzed man's life, and they were in awe, and they praised God. And this is what it's about. It's about us not doing beautiful services and having great programs for our own kids. It's about pouring our resources that God has given us into our community. In Jeremiah 29, God said to those in captivity, build houses there, plant gardens there, pray for the city where I have carried you. If the city prospers, you will prosper. We have been carried to Northern Virginia, you and I together. This is our mission field. God has blessed us so we can be a blessing here. And if we take care of these people, they will see the love of Jesus. And they will come to know Him. I'm just excited to see what is the next step. It's not something I'm doing. God is doing these things. It's not something you're doing. Miss Martin, Jody Martin, are you here this morning? Not here this morning. She's a teacher in Prince William County, and she was at Coles Elementary. Coles Elementary School is the school where that trailer park kids, where those kids go. She was in a teacher meeting sharing the vision of Hope for Nova with the teachers at Coles Elementary, and they said, we want to help. We will provide the curriculum and the teachers. We will volunteer our own services. We want to come to the Hope House, and we want to provide the tutoring that is needed because those are our kids. We love those kids. And if you will allow us to come into your space and meet those kids' needs, we want to start this before the school year ends. It's this kind of stuff. If we're simply obedient, God will take care of the rest. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say a huge thank you to you for all that you're doing and allowing us to be a part of. God, I'm just in awe of who you are and in awe of what you're doing. Thank you that we get to partner together with you and with other local churches. I pray that you continue to raise up the team, raise up the resources that are needed for us to be a part of this kingdom expansion movement, of seeing people come to know you, of seeing disciples be made, of seeing new churches be planted, of seeing people come to know you as their loving Savior. Help us to simply do our part. And it may be that we only have a couple loaves of bread to offer. But God, help us to be willing to do that and trust that you'll take care of the rest. I pray for those who are here today who may not even know who you are. God, if there's somebody in this room who has never put their faith and trust in you, I pray they would do it right now. Your word says that if we confess with our mouth that you are Lord and believe in our heart that you died on a cross for us to forgive us, that we would be saved. So God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that has never called out to you, they would do it right now. Just in this time, they would call out to you and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to follow you. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would come and power, just transform lives right now. God, I also pray for those of us in this room who do know you as our Lord and Savior. But there are crowds or obstacles or walls or shut doors in front of us, and we think that somehow that's you stopping us. But God, help us to see that you just want to see how persistent we can be, and through you, knock down walls if needed to bring people to you. God, show us where in our life how we can be a part of this plan, how we can help those that you have placed around us in need. Help us to see with spiritual eyes the paralyzed people that you have around us that need somebody to go up and pick up a corner of a mat and carry them to you. Help us, God, to work together to see you transform lives. Help us to realize that none of this is possible without you, and that it's only because of you giving yourself, of dying on a cross for you, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed, that we can now live for you. So as we take communion this morning and close our time of worship together, help us to remember as we take a piece of this broken bread that you allowed your body to be broken for us. As we dip it in a cup of juice, a symbol of your blood shed for us, help us to remember what you did for us so that we can leave this place ready to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen.